We're going to need God's grace to get through such an interesting and, let's just be honest, somewhat disturbing passage. I think that there is a very important message to tell us this morning. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to reveal what is here to our eyes, that we might hear what he wants to say specifically to us. This is a message for God, from God to you. And so now let's ask him to reveal it. So Lord, we come before you and we admit that we just need your help this morning. We need help every morning. We need help. You're so good to us. You want to help. And you've given us this word to show us what it is you'd like to say. And so we come to you now and we ask that you would bring your word into our hearts and help us to know how to apply it and help us to believe. In your name, amen. So the Bible is quite a surprising book, isn't it? Have you ever thought about how strange these words really are? I mean, we're talking about a bunch of people having a lot of sex and having a lot of kids. That's what's here, okay? It sounds like a Jerry Springer episode, doesn't it? Isn't that what is before us? My sister stole my man, okay? Or I married four women, but which one will I ultimately choose? Or I gave my maid to my hubby. Now they're having the baby that I wanted, okay? It sounds like a Springer episode, and it's highly embarrassing, really. I mean, who would want to have this story told after Thanksgiving, right? Let's just talk about how you have your sons. How did that happen exactly? Well, let me tell you. Never mind. I can't believe this is in the Bible. This is so funny. This is so strange. What is the purpose of all of that? And really, actually, I can't believe that God chose to save the world through this lot. And that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. We've got a dysfunctional family here. I mean, this is as dysfunctional as it gets, really, I suppose. They're behaving badly. We're going to find out that everything they do, it's like they're having a war, and each of the children is like, in your face, you know, gotcha. And God is still functioning. It's a dysfunctional family, but God is still functioning. He's still working. And it's a testimony to God's grace. It's a testimony that is real because actually we all really mess up. Nobody sees half the ways we do. Nobody sees what a mess our life really is behind the door. But it's there and we know it. And so we say, how do I relate? Well, this is very relatable. These people are messed up. At least I can see that. And if God helps them, perhaps he can help me too. He's willing to work with the broken. By grace, God works a masterpiece out of our mess. That's the word that I want you guys to be thinking about today. By grace, God works a masterpiece out of our mess. Are you a mess? Good news. God can work a masterpiece. Let's begin by noting the first people who mess up big are Jacob and Rachel, how they completely disregard God. They make a mess. Verses 1 through 3. Everybody have their Bibles out. Let's look down as we're reading. Let's think about these words. I really do think they've come from God. They are for you, and they'll change us as we let them. So chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." And Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my servant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and I too can build a family through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her. All right, so just a reminder of the background. We have what is happening here is we're having the beginning of the war of the wombs, as I've said, okay? And it's going to be about jealousy. So remember, in the last story that we just read, Leah is the extra wife that Jacob didn't want, and he doesn't love her, and he doesn't regard her. And the Lord sees, and the Lord opens up Leah's womb, and she ends up having four boys, which in the ancient world is like you just hit home runs. You are valuable. Now, we talked about how this isn't how we see things, okay? We're in a different culture, but in that culture, they suddenly say, you're worth something. To this woman who is unloved, you have had the children, you've had the firstborn, go you. You're a stellar wife after all. And Rachel, who has Jacob's love, now looks out and says, I don't got any kids. And she seethes with jealousy. And jealousy is dangerous. We're going to see that there's this mutual jealousy going on. Each woman wants what the other woman has, and it stirs up and it churns up like a whirlwind, and it's toxic and it's wicked. And if you imagine, actually, you can probably think of somebody right now, take a moment, think of somebody right now, somebody that you probably don't like, and there is a fair chance that what you don't like is that they have something that you wish you did, or that they are something that you wish you were. It causes friction. Oh, that person. You can't really think of what's bad about them other than that they have that thing. I want that thing. I want that thing. It's not fair. And so she looks and she becomes very, very jealous. And it's going to ruin the relationship she has with her sister. Okay? And then what happens in this almost this melancholy factor, she just over the top, she says, give me children or give me death, okay, to Jacob. And Jacob shrugs his shoulders and says, that's not my fault, it's God's. God's the one that closed your womb, right? So obviously Jacob has high regard for God to throw him under the bus like that. It's kind of pathetic. If only Jacob had prayed at this point, like Abraham, his grandfather, and Isaac, his father, because both of their wives were barren, and they both prayed, and God opened up their wombs. Now, there's something very important about this story, okay? These people are the seed of promise, okay? And God has promised to make their name great in all the earth, and that means they're going to have children, and those children are going to have children, and there's going to be a great nation. So God has a special promise here. It's just for this nation that is coming from Jacob. It's not for all people. There are lots of people who would have liked to have had children. They're barren. They haven't done anything wrong. But this is a special situation. God says, come to me and pray. I'm going to make your name great. Jacob doesn't trust God. Rachel doesn't trust God. Nobody trusts God. And so, out of Jacob's passivity and like, I just don't care, Rachel comes up with a plan. She's going to have to save herself here. And so she says, here's my maid, Bilhah. Why don't you take her and sleep with her, and I'll get a family through her. Now, this was the ancient method of surrogacy. That's what's going on here, okay? And the ancient world said, and it's actually, there's a law code, Hammurabi's, okay? That's Hammurabi's code. You can go and look at this. This is before Abraham, his life. And in this code, it says, if there is a woman, the woman of the house, and she cannot have children, well, go to the maid and have a child through the maid, and then when the child is born, the child goes to the woman who cannot have a child. Okay, that was in the law, and everybody agrees this is the way you do it. Everyone's doing this. So if you have this problem, you go and you do this thing. And so that's what she says they should do. It's exactly what Sarah said, by the way. If you were to go back to chapter, I think, 24. She says, I can't have any children, to Abraham. Here's the maid, Hagar, and they enter into a relationship of sorts, and through that comes Ishmael, and Ishmael is the reason that there is still fighting in the Middle East to this day. It goes horribly, horribly wrong, and that just tells you that what everybody is doing is not necessarily what you should do, and especially in this one, we should stop and take a moment and think about that, actually. What is the world telling us everybody's doing in this category? Just go ahead. Everybody does it. Just go ahead. It's okay. It's almost like we understand that there's something kind of wrong with this, but it's okay because everybody's doing it, and you know the mass decides, right? Well, not here. This is a bad decision. That's what's going on here. And it is going to wreck their lives. So look, there are two children then that are born. And look what Rachel says, verses 6 through 8. Then Rachel said, God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son. Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, I've had a great struggle with my sister and I have won. So she named him Naphtali. Okay. So basically, we should see all of these children as kind of taunts to the sister. Ha ha, I got you. I'm one up. And so she looks at this first child and she says, his name is Dan. And what Dan means is judgment. It's specific. It's judgment like she's in court. And on one side is her sister and another side is her. And God says, I choose Rachel. She's right. Okay. And then another child comes along and she says, the name is Naphtali. And in the Hebrew, it kind of says, I have wrestled a God wrestling. I have wrestled a divine wrestle, and I have overcome, okay? She's just shaking her fist at her sister. And it's all wrong. Everything she says here is wrong. She says God is on her side. God is not on her side. Leah bore the first four children because actually Leah chose to have faith first in the Lord. And it's kind of like the way that we say, I follow God, and God chooses me, and I'm right with him. And then we go and we do what is wrong. We say, I'm a good Christian, and then we go and we do what is wrong. But here's the punchline. God uses this anyway. God is going to use everything that happened here. It's none of it is good. Nobody has done anything right so far. God is still going to use it, and God is even going to eventually bless all this. All of these stories that we read about, these are cherished stories, the cherished stories about how the nation of Israel was formed. God is going to use all of this, and it's a testimony to his grace that he takes that mess and he makes something beautiful. We'll look at that in a bit. By grace, God works a masterpiece from our mess. Well, Leah will see all this and decide to take steps backwards from her faith. She can join this fight. She can be nasty too. So verse 9 now. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune!" So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am. The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. All right. So remember that the first four children that Leah had, it was this story of wanting her husband to love her. But by the last child, she says, "I'm just going to praise the Lord." Meaning, the Lord loves me. The Lord is with me. And he's given me these children. And I'm just thankful with that. I don't have to earn my husband's approval. It doesn't seem like he's going to love me anyway. But at least God loves me. That's an important part for our life. We have to get to the point where we say, God's love is enough for us. By the way, he's given everything for us. And so his love should be enough for us. Okay, but anyway, she's going to take a step back now. She just realized, baby count now seems to be 4 to 2. Okay, even though I've got, a few more, this is getting close. So I'm starting to, wait a minute, I can fight too. I can fight fire with fire, okay? And says she had stopped having children. We're going to see why in a moment. But she says, well, here's my maidservant. Go to her. Do the exact thing that my sister did. She can be bad. I can be bad too. And so he goes to the maid. I think it's, is it Zilpah there? Yeah. And there's a child that is born, and the first child is named Gad, which is, essentially means, aren't I lucky? She's like, I rolled the dice, and I won the fortune. Aren't I lucky? Woo! I'm a big winner. Okay, and then she has another child, and she names that child Asher, which basically means something like, blessed like me. Right? It's like it's pretentious. It's self-righteous. She's saying, I've got all of these children, and it's just proof that you, my sister, are a complete idiot, and that God has blessed me. It, when people are self-righteous, that's what it is here. None of this, by the way, is what God wants, okay? She can play the bad game too. Leia is reverting in her faith. And this happens in our walk, actually. I remember my dad, I was telling my dad that about a number of situations that I was like, and I actually just said to him, it feels like God is orchestrating these events to teach me what he's already taught me before. Why is he teaching me this again? And God, my dad actually said, you know, actually God has to teach us multiple times the same lesson, you know, because we just don't get it. Just the same way that you teach your child something. Have you ever done this? If you have children, do this, and they do it, and you go, yes, you win. And then, like, the next week, they just go back and do the exact same thing that they were doing before. Potty training. If you guys ever do this, this is exactly how it works. You did it. Okay, from now on, this is going to happen. No way. Okay? It's going to go right back to what it was before. God is patient here with Leia. She's taken a step back, and so God looks at her and says, that's it, Leia, we're done. You trusted me, but now you didn't trust me, so I'm finished with you. Is that what God does here? No. God actually just, he's going to use this too. But they're fighting this child war, aren't they? And that's kind of sad. By grace, God works a masterpiece from our mess. Look at verse 14 now, and we're going to see a very strange story. But I'll explain what all means. During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the field and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you also take my son's mandrakes too? Very well, Rachel said. He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. So when Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him. You must sleep with me, she said. I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband. So she named him Issachar, which means hired, okay, rewarded. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have honored him with six sons. I have borne him with six sons. So she named him Honor, Zebulun. Okay. Sometime later she gave birth to a daughter named her Dinah. All right, so this is a weird story, and the weird story is designed to tell us that this is an extremely pagan family that is filled with like pagan elements that are slowly kind of being put away as they turn towards the living God, okay? This is like, that's what the story is designed to tell us. And how God is even saying, you used to do that and that doesn't work anymore. Okay, so let me explain what the story is. There's a little boy, Reuben, this is the firstborn. He's out in the field and he picks mandrakes. Now, some of you have watched Harry Potter and know that the word mandrake is attached with plants and screaming plants or something, but that's not what the ancient world did with these mandrakes. They're actually, in the Hebrew, it says they're love apples. That's what they're called, love apples. And the word love is like making love, okay? That's the word there for love. You know, David, David's name, love, that kind of love is the word for apples here, the love apples. It's referring to, there's a goddess in ancient religion called Aphrodite, okay, the god of sex and love, that god. And somehow it was attached to, that god was attached to this particular fruit that would just, they would blossom for like a week and the fruit would be there. And if you got there, you got the fruit, you would pull up the whole thing, okay? And you'd take all of that home and then you would get a pot out and you would cook it. And it was supposed to be an aphrodisiac, but it's also psychedelic, it's a drug. Okay, and so you take all this stuff and it makes everything hot and you have kids. That's the idea. This is what Reuben has gone and found somewhere. Now, Reuben probably thought these are some cute plants, but Rachel goes, that's the ticket, because she's not really put much faith in the Lord yet. That's the ticket. And so she says, give me some of your son's mandrakes, because she's quite pagan. Leah, you could just hear the bitter response there. You stole my husband. Now you want the mandrakes. How ridiculous of you. And so here we find out that that Rachel has been so upset about the fact that Leah has been bearing children, that what she said, eventually she looked over to Jacob and said, don't sleep with her anymore. Don't sleep with her anymore. And he simply stopped sleeping with Leah. And so she looks over at Leah and she says, fine, you can sleep with him in exchange for those lovely love apples. Okay, I'm going to make me some potion and I'm going to finally get pregnant. I'm excited about this. And so what happens? Number one, I just want to point out that Jacob, I mean, what is he here? He's like a breeder horse or something. He's like, go over there, get these people pregnant. Go over there, get that person pregnant. And he just does it. He just goes around like, he just said, nobody, he's not even offering a qualified response. Like, you know, I married the two of you and you not that much, but I'm not, I don't want to sleep with all these people. He just, you know, he's totally passive. He doesn't care. And it's just going to be a total disaster in the next set of things is Jacob's life, all his kids just kind of go everywhere and cause trouble. And, you know, the bigger part of that is that, well, he just hasn't been there, you know? And so, yeah, okay, off he goes, and she comes and says, I've bought you. It sounds like prostitution. I've bought you with my son's mandrakes. Come on in, okay? And the word there, by the way, it's the word for being together, for it's not making love. That one is never used with Jacob. Jacob doesn't make love to anybody. He just has sex with different people. And the Bible uses a different word to talk about that special relationship of marriage and knowing your spouse. Well, so what happens? Does Rachel finally get that child because she did a deal with the devil? No, nothing happens at all. And then, shockingly, Leah, she gets three more kids out of this. This is great, you know? Apparently, she worked out a deal where she could return to her husband every once in a while. And it's worked out. And there are children coming forth. And I just want you to see what she names them. So the first child comes out and she says Issachar, right? Because the Lord has given me a wage for giving my servant to my husband. So what she's saying is it was really a good idea actually that I gave Bila to my husband to have more children. Well, that's completely wrong. Okay, that's completely wrong. That wasn't God's idea at all. And then the next one comes, and she says, it's another boy, Zebulun. And the Lord has endowed me. Perhaps my husband now will honor me because I've given him six sons. That sounds like what she said with the very first child that she had. Remember, the first child was named Reuben. Look, a son, now you should love me. It's like she's just taken a step back in her faith. She's just taken a huge step back. And then that last child, Dinah, her name is also judgment. Dan, that's the male form of the word judgment. And Dinah, that's the female form of the word judgment. So both of these women think that God has judged on their behalf, and they're both completely wrong. They're both completely and utterly wrong. It just turns out that God loves them. Now look, it says here that God listened to Leah's voice, which means that Leah was praying. So Rachel has found out that the gods that she used to serve don't work. And also that Rachel, that her sister, who is a real turd, okay, not nice at all, even if her sister will go to the Lord and pray, then God will just hear, even though she's not perfect, she's not done what is right. Rachel is now taking notes. But look, God is going to use all this for the greater good, and he is merciful. By grace, God works a masterpiece from our mess. Let's lastly see how God draws out faith in Rachel and uses all of this for his glory. And there's a really interesting punchline to this section, okay? So this is verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel, and he listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add to me another son. God has taken away my disgrace is something that Leah said right at the beginning of this when she was not loved. And God is in the business of taking away our disgrace. I want to point out two things here. The first is that God remembered Rachel. This is a very important terminology. What it means is we don't earn God doing anything for us. And so far, Rachel has done nothing but bad. And yet God, because he loves her, remembers her. And when we sin, as we all do, and we are in a bad way before God, and we have done what is wrong, God chooses to not look at our sins, and he remembers us. And that is why we walk with him today, because we have all sinned, but God has remembered us. God remembers us, not because of what we've done, but because of who he is. He's merciful, he's loving, he's good. And that is why Rachel has hope. And that is why she's going to have a child and then another child in a few chapters. But now Rachel actually gets it. You'll notice that it says God listened to her voice, which means that Rachel now is praying to God. She took the notes. Leah, she's pretty messed up, but she keeps praying, and out come these children. I'm going to pray too, okay? And guess what? God responds to that. You know what has happened? Rachel has gone from being an outsider to the faith to now a believer in some sense in the Lord. Now, it turns out that she's going to do something very pagan in the next story. Just a few chapters down. I think actually it might be, one chapter forward. But she's begun the journey that leads towards trusting in God alone. And we need that, right? And so God has done something very good out of something very bad. And God is doing the same with all the bad that you've done. Have you done some terrible things? I do not tell you to continue doing the terrible things. But I will say this. God can take that mess. And if you'll suddenly realize that he's real, and that he's there, and that he loves you, and turn towards him, he can make that masterpiece, can't he? He can change your heart. He can make you what you're meant to be, which is great because we all secretly have disasters inside. It's just that most of us don't know what those are from the inside, right? Only us have the inside view, but God knows, and God can make something of that. And God does, okay? So the child is named Joseph, which means give me another son. That's what she names her child. Joseph, add me another son, okay? But she says, you've removed from me my humiliation. You've taken it away. And that child, Joseph, there, he's going to turn out to be really interesting. Now, here's the big picture. They've had all these children through basically bad behavior. Every single child born in this situation is a child that is born in a bad situation where people don't really love each other, where they're having a petty little game. And God is going to say, all of you guys who are born in this bad situation and you lot who made the bad decisions, all of this, you're in my family and I love you. And then one child, this child, Joseph, that child is going to be sent away to Egypt, and there God is going to providentially use that child to save all of them. That's what he's going to do. He's going to use Joseph to save everyone. And he's making a picture, and this is the picture, that God's kingdom is filled with a bunch of retrobates who've made bad, bad decisions and done terrible, terrible things. You are those people. And God is going to take one child, one seed, and that child will save us all. Who is that child? Jesus. It's all a picture of the coming glory that Jesus is going to live out, where he is going to take all of our sins and all of our mess, and God is going to say, I love you anyway. He will pay, and you will be saved. And so God takes our mess, and he makes a masterpiece. There it is, right? God takes our mess and he makes a masterpiece. So what can we take away from God's grace here and this family's messy sins? First thing, If God works with them, he can work with you. And if you've sinned, it's going to be okay. Just look at him now, okay? And that's what's going on. There's a bunch of sins, and God is just waiting after each sin to say, you could put your trust in me now. You could take a step forward now. I don't care about what you've done. What are you going to do today? Are you going to put your trust in me now? And so eventually Rachel has children. Eventually Leah gets it. Eventually everything works out. When they turn to the Lord, he's ready to receive him. And if you've been doing evil things, and if you've done things that nobody knows about here, and if you feel deep regret, and if you think to yourself, God will never take me, well, God took them, he'll take you. He's merciful. He's good. Isn't this lovely? You have hope. Perhaps in a moment when we pray, you can say to God, please come. And I'm sorry for what I've done. And I want you to tell my story now. And I'm going to surrender to you. Okay? God can work with you. He worked with them. Second, stop fighting your family. Okay, stop fighting your family. You are the church of the Lord. And what the Lord doesn't want you doing is looking at your sister or your brother with envy and saying, you know what my life is going to be about? My life is going to be about how I wish I was them. And I'm going to get it. God is like, don't waste your life like that. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. What should you do instead? Work together. Work together to make the gospel known, the good news of Jesus Christ. We're all different. Some of you, I'm glad I'm not you. Some of you, I wish I was you. All of us can work together for the gospel. And you know what? You have things that I don't have, and I have things that you don't have. And we all need each other. You're needed. You're wanted. Don't look at somebody else and just be consumed with jealousy and then say, and so I will not do anything. Okay? So I'm not going to do anything, right? Because I'm so upset that one person has got all the things that I want. Last thing, we leave behind the old patterns of our world before Jesus. Okay, so there's this all sorts of thinking that the world is just essentially vomited into our life. This is the way it works. Do this evil thing. This is how it works. You want that in life. And some of these things, when we realize that this isn't what God wants, it's just what the world is saying to us and what we think we want, we can say, just like Rachel learned that the love apples are garbage, you know, just like they learned here that they don't want to do this whole weird surrogacy thing where they just kind of sleep with, you know, whoever is their maid. Just like they're learning things, we learn things too. We don't just turn the TV on and say, I obey, okay? We say, I want to live in a different way. I want to think in the right way. We don't just go to Instagram and say, I find my hope here. We go, you know what? My hope goes deeper, and I'm going to kind of jettison that. And I'm going to focus on the Lord because that's what I want. We leave behind the idols of the past. You'll be happier. I know you think that getting that thing or whatever is going to make you happy. You'll be happier without it. You'll be happy with the Lord. So those are three things for us to think about. But what grace that God would work with people like that, and what grace that God would work with people like us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a very human family, a very broken family, even a family that has deep, deep regrets, Lord. And so do we. As we come before you, we recognize our need for you and the mistakes we've made and the ways we've let you down, and we know that you still want us, that you still love us, that you're going to bring us home as we put our trust in you. And we ask, Lord, that you would plant in our heart a faith in Jesus, who would take all of our sins away, who would give us that new life we want, who would set us free from all of the things that we think, if I get this, then I'll be happy, but it's junk and garbage. And so now in the quietness of heart, why don't you speak about one of those three things or anything else you'd like to the Lord? He's the one that is listening to you. So just take a moment to pray.